Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Evan. Filling in for Luke. Luke's gone for the week. He'll be back next week, I promise. He needs to go and check out, but hell of a week to check out, man. We got the January 6th hearings happening. You're listening to us right now. We're going to carry those hearings. If you have the hearing on, you're going to listen to it live here on WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM The Shaw in Waukesha. And Madison and the Solidarity Realty Studios will be broadcasting the January 6th hearings live as well, anytime they're on WTTN 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can also check it out on the Devil Radio app. We'll be streaming on both stations. And any time that there's January 6th hearings, we'll be hearing it here on this station. So if you have anything to say about the January 6th, give me a call, 844-967-2789. So far, we've talked about the January 6th. We've also pointed out that we have a problem in our society, and it's one is a combination of our society needing to do something very important, and as well as our own minds going and creating the realities that shape our actions, almost like an addict trying to without consciously doing so, walking towards a problem. So without further ado, let's go to the callers before we move on to another subject here. Let's go to Dave in California. How you doing, Dave? What's going on, man?
Hey, well, not too bad. I've watched every bit of the hearing today, and I don't know if you've kept up with the issue of, Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court justice, and his wife, Virginia Thomas. When news about her malfeasance came out a couple of months ago, there was discussion about some tweets that she had done with Mark Meadows, and Meadows was Trump's chief of staff. And apparently on election night, she was acknowledging that Trump had lost the election, but she was goading Meadows and the campaign to move ahead with coming up with the fake electors and to basically propound the lie that that Trump had truly won. So they knew on election night that they were committing a fraud by declaring that there was a fake electors, that the election was stolen. And in fact, if you caught the hearing today, there was, I'm trying to think if it was Trump's campaign manager, knew in September that they were on a downhill slide, that Trump had so mismanaged COVID, he had so mismanaged the will of the people, so to speak, that he was going to lose the election anyway, and on election night, it was lost. But they actually came up with, and whether it was Ginny Thomas that goaded him into doing it, or whether it was some other pack of fools, they decided to come up with a propaganda campaign that Trump had truly won.
Well, what happened was there was a normal group of people, and then there was the Giuliani group of people. And Ginny Thomas may have tried to play a bunch of... Ginny Thomas is also going to be an issue going forward, too. She's got some problems. She's got some things that are maybe, I don't know, a little bit ethically dubious, to say the least, and that's really the nicest way one can put it. But yeah, there was clearly the group around the president either went along with what he believed, because the president was just crying and whining, I didn't win, and getting rid of yes men. Someone said it really perfectly afterwards on CNN. I forget the name, so I don't want to misquote, and I don't want to misname. But right afterwards, as I was leaving, right after the hearing was done, someone said Trump was looking was running out of yes men, so he recruited a bunch of yes men amongst the people.
Right,
and that's pretty much what happened. And thank you for your call, Dave. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, the amount of people who knew around him what was going on and could not steer him towards reality is either. Again, it goes to show you what bad leadership can do. I mean, we've all had, I don't know if everybody else has had, but I've had a string of crazy jobs with a bunch of little dictator people that ran the job. You know, managers that wanted to go and prove that they were important rather than, you know, actually getting the job done. People who wanted to justify their ridiculously larger salaries than the employees to make it harder on everybody else just to go and prove they were important and things like that. Donald Trump's the worst of that because he never even worked as a grunt before. He never even stocked shelves at the store. He never even did anything to get his company. In fact, had he just gotten his daddy's money and left it there, he would have made more money. Like, the guy hasn't done anything to warrant any this amount of, you know, addiction, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, again, going back to this addiction part, you know, I've never seen, you see the movies about, you know, cocaine and how people are off having parties and having wonderful wild sex on cocaine and things like that. There's no movies like that about heroin and crystal meth. Like, there's no, like, feel-good story about heroin unless someone got off of it and then is now constantly having to worry about not wanting it all the time. You know what I mean? There's no, like, hooray, heroin's great story, other than it can make you make some really good music and then you're dead.
Requiem for a Dream. That's the exception to your rule. That's the feel-good story for our generation.
Dude, that was one of those movies you never have to see again.
That's right. That's
American
right.
History X. Just, you never Spun. Ever have to see that again.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, these are all kids. Not a good thing. But the point is that at least with those drugs, you get some sort of high off of it. You know what I mean? It gives you a little bit of something. And I'm struggling, and I've been struggling to find what is the high of the Donald Trump. What is the thing that you get to do that makes you so excited about Donald? Like, so excited that you're willing to go and pay for a trip to smuggle guns into the Capitol to possibly take over the United States. Like, to the point where you're willing to do that. Now, again, a lot of these folks were already primed. If you're in the Proud Boys, you're already ready to fight literally anyone for any excuse for whatever reason. You know, those guys are not known for, hey, well-reasoned discussion. Or let's try reason first to get what we want. These people are not the reasonable kind. So I guess I'm struggling to find what is the addiction? What is the high? What is so great about it that you're willing to do this? Why can't you just cut bait and move on? Like, aren't there anybody else? Is there nobody else in the Republican? Like, is there nobody else? There's no one else in the Republican Party you guys can rally around?
I think this circles back to what you said closer to the beginning of the hour, that sort of snowflake syndrome. Everybody is special and all your ideas are great. And no matter what you do with your life, when you're an adult, you'll have opportunities that reach into the horizon and, you know, you'll retire happily. There's, you know, that's the moral that's attached to that story. And the GOP, Republicans, that conservative news media sphere has turned that sideways and against them. Basically, towing that line forward, yes, you are special and your ideas are good. And yeah, you might be unemployed or you might get fired all the time or you might be an alcoholic, but that's not your fault. And your ideas are good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned snowflake. And again, this also goes to the culture, the society, and what I'm going to get to in the next segment here. But when people call you a snowflake, just remember they're quoting Fight Club.
Yeah.
A satire.
Yep.
A satire written by a gay man about how male fragility causes men to destroy themselves, resent society, and become radicalized, and that Tyler Durden isn't the hero, but a personification of the main character's mental illness, and that his snowflake speech is a dig at how fascists use dehumanizing language to breed loyalty from insecure people. That van full of a bunch of people ready to go and beat the crap out of people were the most insecure people in their society, more than likely.
They are the emotionally abused. They're the ones that have maybe, for my money, it's that realization that you're not special just by virtue of being born, your ideas aren't good just because you have them. I think, my generation, your generation, are the ones that sort of first saw that prophecy get pulled away, right?
Yeah.
And seeing that it's just not like that.
Remember how when back in the day that narrative of, oh, how'd you meet your wife? Well, I beat up her ex-boyfriend, and then she stayed with me. Yeah, because, you know, clubbing people and dragging them by their hair is really what we do. But to summarize again, so basically people who say snowflake as an insult are quoting a domestic terrorist who blows up skyscrapers because he's insecure about the size of his genitalia. That's pretty much how that works out.
Yeah.
So let's go to Mark from the SAC. How you doing, buddy?
Well, you just had to bring genitalia into the whole thing there.
Well, you can see it because the emperor does not have clothes on and hasn't had clothes for a long time, but people are still going, wow, what great genitalia-revealing clothing.
Yeah, well, I kind of think for some of these guys that the average cherub would make it, they'd make the average cherub look like John Holmes. That maybe that's too old a reference for some of these people to understand. That,
no, that's it's like a baby holding an apple. That's
It just is sad, and part of it is the Republican Party has made a concerted effort to wreck the promise of society for these folks economically. So I think they've got no other choice. I mean, it used to be you work hard, you get a decent salary. That the jobs that used to be good paying jobs like meat cutting and some of those other things, it used to be good, solid, family supporting jobs, no longer are. And
but Mark, when they make money, they have more time, and when they have more time, they can actually pay attention to what's going on. And when they can pay attention to what's going on, well, you know, that might mean they might vote or might vote differently from how the way that you just tell them to.
Yeah.
Huh?
And that's part of what society, what it was supposed to be, is that the working man was supposed to get time to actually think about things and actually be able to recreate. I mean, there was like in Puck, some political cartoons from a decade, 100 years ago now, probably, where they're satirizing, the movement to make working time, the workers more secure and having more time. Well, they're saying, well, the working man might actually get out and get interested in politics or have more time to recreate. And that's what a society was supposed to have. That's what guys had back in the 60s and the early part of the 70s, where it was, one wage earner could support a family and support them well. In a lot of cases, working guys were buying little cottages on lakes that weren't overly fancy. You know, maybe
that's like the entire Midwest. That's the story of the entire Midwest here, except for black people,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's sad that these people don't recognize that fact, because that's the background I came up from. My dad was working class. I mean, that he worked at the oil refinery up in Superior there, but he provided with a decent standard of living back then. Aside from a financial setback thanks to a drunk driver that put him out of work for like a couple of years, that's how life was, part of the promise that the Republican Party has taken away from people.
Well, I think, let's keep in mind that they're putting their propaganda so they can win, regardless of the damage. They're like a factory that spews chemical oil into the, and just crap into the water all the time. It helps them win and make their manufacture their winning, but it still harms people. And the funny thing is that all politicians do this. This is the one thing that all politicians do. They frame it around the phrase hardworking people, hardworking American people, hardworking, because it's a given that you're a hardworking American person. And if you're not hardworking, then you're a bad person, right? Because American people are hardworking. They want to be hardworking American people because you want to identify as a hardworking person. Then why do you go and attach to someone who's the laziest piece of crap on earth and doesn't even bother to read his own reports coming at him? By the way, when they do say hardworking, they make that motion with their fist. They kind of have that closed fist with a thumb on top. The only other time I've seen that is on a sex toy. Just want to point that out.
Bad Bunny.
Yeah, but again, we can't talk about that.
Nope, can't do it.
We can't talk about sex here in America. Only guns and shooting and killing.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's a little... we'll talk about that next segment.
Ooh, can't wait.
844-967-2789.